You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with the expectation of harvest.
Harvest is also light and revelation. I will open you the windows of heaven. I will open the windows of heaven. When windows are open, fresh air comes in. When windows are open, light comes in. So when the windows are open, God gives you revelation. God gives you ideas and concepts and insight. So when I sow a seed, I expect windows to open. I expect light to come, revelation to come, and God to let me know what I need to know when I need to know it. Because I have an unction from the Holy One. So light comes. Thirdly, I got a right to expect my needs to be met. Everybody say needs met. Now, mind you, when I talk about needs met, I'm not talking about abundance yet. I'm not talking about Mercedes. I'm not talking about multiple cars. I'm not talking about a 5,000 square foot house, because I'm talking about need. You don't need that. We want that and we desire that, and God will take us from needs to wants to desires. But at first, before I can believe him for wants to desire, I got to first trust him and get assurance that my needs will be met. Which means, say this with me, I will always have a roof over my head. I will always have clothes to wear. I will always have food to eat. Those are the basic necessities of life. And you got to get over your fear. I don't care if you lose a job. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I will always have a roof over my head. I will always have clothes on my back. I will always have food to eat. I don't know where it's going to come from, but that is the minimum I will have, because I'm a child of God, and he promised, according to Philippians 4:19, he will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Look at somebody, say, get it settled that our needs will be met. Malachi 6:25, just remind you again how I started this faith journey into economic prosperity. Matthew 6:25. Scripture tells us that, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. God said, I got your life. What you going to eat, what you going to drink, for your body, what you going to put on? Is not your life more than just food, and your body more than just clothes? Keep going. Behold, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They're not giving tithes and offerings, and they're not working on the farm. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barn. Yet some kind of way, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He's talking about to God. Verse 27. And which of you by worrying, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? He said, worrying don't add anything to your life. Not going to make you taller. Not going to add anything. So why are you going to take thought and worry about clothes? He said, look at the lilies of the field, the flowers. Look how they grow. They're not working every day. They're not driving to work. Neither do they spin and trying to make clothes. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, with all his wealth and glory, he was not arrayed as beautiful as one of them. Wherefore, if God look close the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, you're cooking it or use the heat, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? O ye of what? O ye of what? God said, that's little faith. Come on, that's little faith stuff. Come on, to build church in millions, you need some bigger faith. First, you got to get the little faith stuff taken care of. Why you want a bigger house and you can't pay your utilities? Come on, little faith stuff. Therefore, take no thought. Take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to be? What are we going to wear? Keep going. Why? Because all these things, the Gentiles, those that don't have a covenant with God, they worry about those things. Your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things. Do y'all realize what God said? God said, will you stop even thinking about that? Can you ask me for something beyond your basic needs? I already got that. If you would take care of your giving, I'll take care of your living. So we got people to this day in this church who stay stuck in this cycle. They stuck in this cycle. Always worried about where they're going to live. Always worried about food. Here's the one thing they all got in common. They don't tithe. I ain't lying and God ain't lying. But it takes faith to break out that cycle. Okay. Now, this is faith. I've done it. That's the only reason why I'm preaching to you. So when it looked like I need the money for food, I tithed. Now, because I got to break out of this cycle. I got to do something to break out of this cycle of just being stuck in my needs. And you're working. So God, okay, I need you to do what you said you're going to do. I'm going to take care of my giving and you take care of my living. Look at somebody say, break the cycle. You got to break that cycle of poverty off your life. Now, let me tell you something. If you're brand new to the church, see, something I got to say generally, so I won't have to make you feel bad by saying it personally to you, so I'll say it generally. Okay, if you've been in this church 10 years, don't come up here and give me an excuse why you don't tithe. Now, if you're brand new, I get it. The rest of you, don't even do it. Just acknowledge, I don't believe God like that. Ain't no other reason. I don't believe God like that. And then don't come tell me you don't believe God like that. That's the deal. And people come out. So I said, come to me. Somebody came one time. Pastor, you don't be here a long time. But I just have a problem with this faith stuff. Well, go to another church. Because I'm going to keep talking about this faith stuff. This faith stuff. This ain't stuff. This is life. The just shall live by faith. And if you're going to break the cycle of just natural need and natural struggle, you're going to have to do it God's way. And say, God, I trust you. And I ain't saying this to receive an offering. I'm telling you because I want you to get out of that place in your life. There's bigger fish to fry, literally. God want to do other things with your life rather than struggle and pay your rent every month. Now, for some of you, that may mean you need to downsize. Downsize. Pay it until you upsize. Till your pocket gets swole. Some of you got a swole house and little pockets. Let your pockets be swole before your house swells. Because with a swole house comes swole utilities and swole maintenance. And roofs don't last forever. And air conditioning system don't last forever. Some of y'all worried right now. Lord, it's starting to get warm. Lord Jesus. You know, because our children are home, nobody's upstairs. Sometimes we don't even go upstairs. Pastor Marcia went up to us. He said, feel like an attic up here. I said, what? She said, well, it's set on 76, but it's saying 87. I said, oh, the devil is a lie. I said, cut it off and reset it, okay? God don't want us struggling for our needs, amen? Number four, a guaranteed repayment from God. Say this, say, God will repay me. Proverbs 19 and 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he, God, pay him again. Now watch this, y'all. Hold that scripture there. God wants us to have pity, which means to have compassion. That means getting involved in the needs of the poor. If God wants us to get involved in the needs of the poor, and to help eliminate poverty in people's lives, then we're not supposed to be the poor. Oh, now, am I making this up? Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, but me you won't have with you always. So, which means Jesus didn't identify himself with the poor as in that category. He ministered to the poor. He had a ministry to the poor. That's the bag that Judas was stealing money out. That Because that's why he said when a woman came with the alabaster, we could have liquidated this and put it in this bag so we could take care of the poor. I mean, so I can have something to steal. I mean, so we can take care of the poor. So when we give, God will pay us again. Now you got to catch this. When you give to the poor, God will repay, will pay him again. That's telling you will get back what you gave. That's not increase. That's break even. But how much want to increase? So you want increase, you got to give to more than the poor. Now, we can't eliminate the poor, but we got to give beyond that. Number five, you have a right to your decrees and your confessions manifested when you give. Job 22, verse 27. Thou shalt make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. Next part says, and thou shalt what? Thou shalt pay thy vows. That's the finance, that's financial giving there, right? And especially give your vows, especially something that you said you're going to do. You shall pay your vows, and what's going to happen? Now go on. Thou shalt all, now because I do it, I can decree a thing, just like I'm a judge. I'm the captain now. I decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me, and the light, favor, shall shine upon my ways. Now watch this, keep on going. Go on down. When men are cast down, now watch this, God said, I'll give you authority to speak blessings in other people's lives. When men are cast down, you shall say, there's a lifting. Get up out of that situation. You won't be able to help other people out of their situations. There's being lifted, and he shall save the humble person. Verse 30. He shall deliver the iron of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of your hand, because you have returned to the Lord. You have paid your vows. Now, God said, I'm going to cause these things to manifest in your life. Now, I need you to put that verse up in the Amplified, verse 29. This, which brings the numbers, which is God will give favor for your guilty loved ones. Don't raise your hand if you got guilty loved ones. They did it. They're in jail. Getting ready to go to jail. Something happened. They committed the offense. When they make you low, you will say there's a lifting up, and the humble person, he lifts up and saves. Keep going. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. Do y'all see that? So I can sow a seed for a family member who's guilty and ask God for favor. I'm not making this up, y'all. We've had to work it ourselves, you know. Okay? He will be delivered through the cleanness of your hand. So I can also expect my decrees and confessions to be manifested. When I speak something, it's going to happen. I'm going to be in a situation to lift other people up. And then also, God's going to give favor even to my guilty loved ones because of my giving and my seed. Oh, glory to God. I also got a right to expect reciprocity. Everybody say reciprocity. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Paul said, now I got a right to receive from you because I've given to you. He said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So when I sow, I got a right to reciprocity. I got a right for that to come back into my life some kind of way. Hallelujah. One of the things I try to get the pastors under me to understand, I'm going to be talking to them about it. If they're watching, some of them may not show up now. We're going to have a pastor summit. But I'm going to tell them, see, even for a pastor, as a pastor, when I submit myself under someone who I esteem and who I allow to speak into my life, now by me obeying them, by me inconveniencing myself for them, by me sowing into them, by me showing up when I didn't want to go because they have a meeting that they scheduled, I got a right to expect y'all to do that. But if I'm not willing to do that, I don't have a right to receive that. I have a right to expect people to be loyal to me because I've been loyal to my spiritual fathers. I have a right to expect people to give to me because I give to my leaders. Reciprocity. You also got a right to expect multiplication of your seed. Everybody say, my seed will be multiplied. So God will multiply your seed. So I got a right to expect more than just what I sowed to show up in my life. I got a right to expect not just the 30 and the 60, but the 100-fold. Everything to be manifested. Let me move on. I'm trying to move quickly here. I also got a right. I can expect healing for loved ones through seeds I sow. Okay? Watch this one. Because a lot of us missed it. Look at Luke 2. Luke 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion servant, which was dear to him, he was sick and he was a man who was ready to die. This centurion came. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent. Now, he's not a Jew. He's a Roman. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that they would come and heal his servant. He said, y'all, you know, I'm not a Jew. Jesus is just dealing with the Jews. And so he sent an intercessor. Can y'all see if he would come and heal my servant? Because I don't have a right to go to him. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly or insistent or immediately asking, will he come and help this man? Saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Now, he's worthy, Lord, for you to heal his servant. Why? Well, why is this man worthy that I should heal his servant? Keep reading. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. He said, this man loves our people and he has financially used his own money to build a synagogue so we can have a place to worship God. Then Jesus with them. And when he was not far off, the centurion's friend said, Lord, trouble not yourself. I'm not worthy that thou should have entered unto my roof. My point is, Jesus' now heart was turned to the man, turned towards the servant. Jesus speaks a word, and the man's servant is healed. But what gave him the right to expect it is because he had sold financially to build a synagogue. Are y'all with me here? So I can expect even healing for loved ones. Now, the man didn't even want healing for himself. He wanted healing for a servant. But his seed opened up a healing door for his servant. And man, this is a really good guy, y'all. This wasn't his son. It wasn't his mother. It wasn't his father. It wasn't even a friend. It was his servant. Most Romans people could care less about a servant. Which tells us God's concerned about what he cares about, what we care about. Two more, I'm done. Number 10, I'm going to give you 11 of them. Number 10, you got a right to expect debt cancellation through your seed. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, we talked about last week. He said, the creditor, she said, we're in debt. The creditors come, and now the man of God, she gets blessed, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, live thou and thy children off the rest. Your seed can open up supernatural debt cancellation for you. Hallelujah. I'm believing God, we're going to get more student loans canceled. We've had several over the last couple of years. More student loans being canceled are coming. I don't mean no harm, and you don't have to vote for Bernie to make it happen. No offense against Bernie or the rest of them. But some of y'all think, I'm over here. Oh, yeah. He gonna get rid of student loans. God can supernaturally open up doors and give you favor. Pastor Marshall, we were talking yesterday. We were saying certain people say, I don't know why, that, you know, they won't even just call and speak to the people in authority. God will give you favor that when you go to call and talk to people in authority, people end up doing something that they didn't even expect to do, sometimes not even supposed to do, because you walk in favor. I told you I was somewhere, and I really was just kind of praying. I was going to pay the full price, but I just said to him, I said, that's all you can do? I'm just talking. And a woman said, well, what you want me to do? If I take another 20% off, would that be good for you? I said, sure, thank you. And she had an attitude about it. I didn't care. I got another 20% off. I really wasn't expected to do nothing. Best much to tell you, I kid with people all the time. I call them to the cashier and I say, this is a twofer, right? He said, twofer? I said, I know you get two for one. And some people get mad. No. I'll go into the cashier on a Saturday. I said, I'm here. We were someplace the other night. Home Depot. They closed. We left here at left church. They had to go by Home Depot. They closed at 10. And we got there around 9:35. And I said, I heard after that during between 9 and 10 on Wednesday, stuff is free. Woman said, I'm here. I said, no, I thought I read that somewhere. She said, no. Then every now and then I meet somebody who really sharp. I meet somebody really sharp. And I'll say something like, well, I heard on Wednesdays that you get a half off. She said, oh, no, that was Tuesday. I said, oh, yeah. And I just somebody really, really sharp. Look at them. Say, you have not because you ask not. I want you all to start calling for debts to be canceled. Sometimes Jesse asks the question, listen, what can we do about this? I really want to pay this. I don't have all the money. What can we do? And shut up. What can we do? Shut up. And then let them talk. And expect favor to kick in. Which is the last one. You got a right to expect grace and favor. Go back to 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able. This is directly connected with the seed you sow. Not grudgingly, but a cheerful giver. Now God is able to make all grace. All grace. I told you last year I did a teaching during Direction for Life about all grace. Because the Bible mentioned different. There's saving grace. There's healing grace. Okay. But it's only a seed, a financial seed, that causes God to release all grace. Come on now. All grace. Every grace that's available to make happen whatever you need to happen and whatever area of life you need to happen. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, come to you, that you always have it, all sufficiency. I have everything I need in every area of my life. That's what that means. Say that with me. Say, I will have everything I need in every area of my life. So for me, When I was looking to put my children through college, I stopped stressing about that when I got revelation list. I saw saying, I will have everything I need to put my children through college. It amazes me, Pastor Marshall and I, we were talking, because people get ready to have a baby, and y'all start adding up too much. Oh, Lord, the crib is this, and they can't call me this. And, oh, my God. Well, my God, if everybody do that, nobody's going to have children. You got to say, know what you got to say? If God given me this child, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We'll have what we need when we need it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then if you're connected with this church, connected with a ministry, they cause grace to abound towards you. Give you all kinds of showers and all this kind of stuff. That's part of being part of a community. Everybody say, I'll have what I need when I need it in every area of my life. Well, I said, that means for your children. That means for your home. That means for your retirement. If you would just make this a lifestyle, I sow seed. Well, I said, my biggest investment is in the kingdom of God. I do other stuff, and you should do other stuff, and you can learn to do other stuff. But it got to start, put the kingdom of God first. Because it's this that causes all the other stuff to work. Amen. And so I want you, when you give of your seed, have expectation of harvest. Don't just bucket thumb. Many times people will come and they'll ask me to pray over seed or whatever. And as I'm praying over them, I will say, you know, particularly for particular people I know who are faithful to God, faithful to us, faithful to this church, I put a claim on that. I say, Father, now this person has been faithful to you. They've been faithful to me and Pastor Marshall. They've been faithful in serving in this ministry. Now, God, do such and such. Because you have a right to expect when you've been faithful to God. Come on. God, the Bible said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Hallelujah.
When you give, you have a biblical right to expect God to bless you. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to anticipate the harvest from the seed you've sown. Order this single message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for The Expectation of Harvest.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.